Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.
Hello again, and welcome to episode 20 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast.
20, also known as the Role Player's Dozen.
I'm your host and GM, and the guy who's piping up is...
Bryn Monroe.
James Ross.
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
That is Bryn Monroe's four names.
And who do you play?
I play Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, a magnificent knight wearing a dinner service.
I play Hammond, the halfling sorcerer.
Zolf the cleric.
I play Sasha Rackett, who moves like ball bearings that have erupted from a truck that crashed on a slight slope.
Callbacks!
So, picking up where we left off last time, the party have been investigating a scrapbook that was found after the Edison heist, and you guys hit up...
My buddy Gusset.
And got a bit more info about some rings that are flying around, and a little bit of a wheel.
Mysterious piece of metal.
Yeah, and the true adamantine. And then from there, you headed on to the British Museum.
Yeah.
Where we did slightly less damage than government cuts might.
No! Oh!
Topical!
Still going to be topical when this episode gets broadcast.
Yeah. That's what you come to this actual place.
Can we just one day just release an episode of you doing Lepidoptera and just not tell anyone? just there.
So, moving on.
We visited the McGuffingham Wing.
You visited the McGuffingham Wing and exposed, basically, the...
Just saying, when we finally see the Altahan Wing, it's going to be way more impressive.
And moving on, yeah, you guys accidentally... I say you guys. Brutal managed to accidentally release an evil forgotten for centuries, which you guys swiftly...
The curator knew all about the evil. He was like, oh, be careful, there's some evil in there. Oh, you've smashed it. The evil's
out. Put this evil on the mantelpiece. I hope it doesn't fall off.
It was classic Scooby-Doo, basically. Oh, we're back to being the Scooby gang.
It's Chekhov's bandits.
So anyway, you guys managed to, with a run-in with some, let's call them lawyers, why not, from Bertie's past, inverted commas, you guys made it and were out after being given a capsule to deliver to Paris. So, you currently are on the steps of the British Museum where the curators politely yet firmly closed the door.
We've just been pressed digitized to not be stinky.
Yes.
I know a really good tavern where they do like grey soup. It's really good.
Well, I mean, there's a...
It tastes like not as strong as black soup, but not as weak as white soup.
There's a really
soup.
Nice restaurant just around the corner. At my shout, don't worry.
Right, I mean, the grey soup has meat in it.
Is that the place that does the mildew shakes?
And that's where we'll jump ahead. We'll say that you guys had, for the first time in the entire campaign, an uneventful time.
What?
You made it through a meal.
For once, we're not eating eels.
Yeah. Although
so no one attacked.
I start a food fight.
Brutal was not allowed in the restaurant.
Oh.
no.
Wait, so they're going to make us tie an injured dog up in front of the register?
That's what rich people do for fun.
Again, James, our target audience is going to be confused and alienated by political commentary.
Anyway, so you guys finish your meal and you head on presumably to the Tahans. Keeping simple, do you head to the one that you went to before to make your deposits or a different one?
Yeah, the same one. I mean, we'll go to the biggest one in the local headquarters.
Sure, that's fine. And you head into the bank. It is quiet. There are a few people talking to clerks behind sheets of glass and so on. And there's someone else sort of having a conversation off to the side. It's all very similar.
Someone's going to try and rob it while we're here, aren't they? That's the kind of thing that's been happening to us today.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is kind of our luck here. Yeah.
Right, so everyone be on guard for a robbery?
Bertie strides up to the counter, knocks on the counterpane. Hello, I would like to make some very risky and ill-advised investments, please. Do you have anything extremely precarious?
I'm afraid, sir, that you'd need a stockbroker. You see, we're a bank. What we do is we store your money and transfer it between different locations.
Oh, it's a retail banking arm. Well, I would like to speak to a private banker in a small booth.
Righto. If you just wait there, we'll arrange for someone.
Bertie, what, do you really need to do that now?
Not really, just doing it for show. And you feel like you lose the knack, you know, of making large gambles with silly amounts of money.
Isn't that why you have two very sinister lawyers on your back?
I need to speak to the manager, please. Or the head of deposits, maybe?
Oh, they're quite busy. Can I ask who's asking?
Hamid Al-Tahan.
Yeah, no, that's fine. He looks up and then goes, Oh, yes, right away. Hello, sir, would you like a drink?
No, that's fine, don't yes. worry.
I would.
Water, please, yes. Just some water.
Great. Okay.
With a whiskey in it.
Right. the clerk moves off. Someone shaking a little bit hands everyone a single whiskey with a water in it because they just assumed everyone wanted the same thing. And then eventually someone steps out, a very well-dressed halfling who sort of ushers to the people who are behind and closes the door, and then suddenly he's all smiles.
Hello, Mr. Tahan, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I doubt you'll know me. I am Atsu Anub. Pleasure.
Atsunum, yes, I'm sorry, I had forgotten your name, I'm so...
Oh, it's quite all right,
you know how
sir.
It is,
We met once, you were two.
Yes, obviously, a while ago.
How's things?
Oh, excellent, yes, sir. Is this just a...
Just wonderful shape, everything's in, it's looking very efficient.
Ship-shape,
very impressed by the job you're doing. Oh, well
thank
done.
You. Thank you very much, sir.
We just need some advice, to be honest.
Please, come to my office, sir, I'm so sorry.
Quite a delicate matter, if you don't mind, you know, just
that's fine.
Being discreet.
We'll take you to the private. That's fine, sir. If you just give me a moment. He goes off and...
Ducks. I think I can hear ducks.
The door opens. He leads you down a very plush corridor into a room. You're stepping inside. It's got a mahogany desk, but it's circular. There's no sort of like, this is the bank side and this is your side. Lots of big comfy chairs. There's a bookcase in the corner and... got a window that's just overlooking the street outside, and it's all just very quiet and calm and decorated in gentle hues. Sorry about that, sir. Yes, there. Here we go. It's a bit better. So, what can I do for you? And of course, your guests.
It's a bit of a delicate matter. A friend recently left me with a safety deposit key.
Ah, well.
But
yes.
the circumstances were less than ideal, and it was sort of a parting gift.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes, it was. It was
oh, goodness me, I'm so
sad,
sorry.
Unfortunately, the circumstances...
Before you go any further, roll me a bluff check.
I only rolled a 6, but I do have +8, so 14.
Okay, carry on.
And so, unfortunately, you know, with everything else that was happening, they didn't get a chance to tell me... The details, and I know they wanted me to have it, but they weren't able to actually point me in the right direction, so all I have is the key, unfortunately.
Mr. Tahan, I mean, far be it from me to tell you how to do what it is we do, but I mean, you're aware that without a proof of identification for the key holder, there's not entirely a...
I know, but I mean, the thing is what I need to know really is just where which bank the key is linked to. I don't even know if it's one of ours or someone else's. I mean, that's all I need to know, and that will help me get hold of the identification I need.
I'm not entirely sure how ethical that is, sir. I mean, you're putting me in an awkward position, sir, if I'm honest. I do want to help, but I mean, the rules set down by your own family actually kind of step in the way here.
No, of course. I wouldn't want to put you in a difficult position. I wouldn't want to have to get anyone else in the family involved.
No. Would you happen to have anything, anything we could use as an identification to prove that they gave it you in good faith? That would work. Like a token. If they had a token from them, that would do it. Or anything, really.
Yes, of course.
I lie.
Perhaps this note on this origami swan.
Oh, right, okay.
As you can see, at this point I leap into pomp and pageantry mode. as you can see, it is written in Japanese. Now, this was bequeathed by the Japanese ambassador, obviously a very good friend, Miss Altahan. I'm sure you're familiar with the long association of the Japanese Empire with the Altahan family. Close personal friends, you know. We all went to university together, you know. Very young chap, the junior ambassador, but a very sound fellow. You know, you might think that being in such elevated circles might make a man difficult, may make him reprehensible, but no, a very generous man. You know, we were there when the ceiling fell in and crushed him to bits, like, all over the place. Now, I could paint you a picture with my words that would make your stomach turn, and it would turn into a scene of mild peril, would be sick.
So Japanese ambassador, you're saying?
Japanese ambassador.
Right, the one...
The junior attaché. Yes,
I told you the circumstances were difficult. It was... you heard about the incident.
I did. Yes,
now, of course, you couldn't have it publicised any wider, because it would cause difficult diplomatic matter.
We were in the papers for saving all those other people.
Say no more. I'll make some inquiries, sir. Do give me a moment. He steps out.
So that went well.
Well, sort of. I mean, wish it had been simpler.
And you've just said, my dad owns the bank, give me the details or I'll fire you?
No, I mean, that wouldn't work.
Right, fair enough. Your bank, not mine.
You know, he has to be, you know, he's right that he's just following the procedures. I mean, you know, I was hoping that, you know, he knew who I was and maybe that would have made things simpler. But he's good at his job, and so he was just doing what he should do, I suppose. But I'm sure he'll tell us. I mean, all we need to know is where the bank is. I'm not asking him to open anything or to without proper paperwork.
He returns with a safety deposit box in hand and a sheaf of papers on top, and he puts the safety deposit box down on the desk and goes, I'm so sorry, we've been having an ongoing problem with our systems recently. I'm not entirely sure what it is. I'm sure it's nothing. If you just give me a few more moments, I wish I could be more helpful. Just give me a moment, please, sir.
Of course.
He heads off.
No rush at
and
all.
Closes the door too again.
So he leaves the deposit box.
He leaves the deposit box on the desk.
I look at Hamid like I could give this a. You want me to give this a shot?
Well, I mean,
see if the key works, but like otherwise.
Let's just check the key. I mean, I thought it wouldn't be for this bank, but we'll just check this key quickly.
The key doesn't work.
Why would he leave the deposit box?
Get in there with my masterworks. It's tools.
You can try. Yeah. Go for it.
I will start reading the paperwork that he left.
Sure.
I want to know what this deposit box is, really.
Go for it.
Oh, yeah, I don't do well. 15,
you don't manage. No. Reading through the paperwork that's on his desk, sort of leaning over and reading it upside down, it appears that a time-release deposit was left in your name, and it was due to release a while ago on your birthday, but was retained for some reason. Anyway, he comes back in. Yeah, sorry about that, sir. Sorry about the delay. It sometimes happens. Now, you were saying it was for the Japanese attaché?
The Japanese attaché.
I'm very sorry to tell you, sir, that I believe there's been some kind of mistake. I understand, given the nature of the accident
the
to Edison.
Yes,
yeah, naturally.
Maybe we ended up with...
See, yes, I mean, that would make sense, because the Japanese attaché, he wouldn't have this key. This key's actually tied to Cairo. So there's no way that he'd be using that.
So
no, of course.
I'm afraid that it may have actually been mixed up in the confusion.
Oh no, we'll have to go back and find...
Well, I mean, normally in this kind of procedure, we'd actually take the key back and hold it to return it to the original.
I'll have to hold on to it. I might need to go back and see one of the other ambassadors from Edison's and find out how the mix-up happened.
I'm afraid so. I really can't do that, so I mean...
I'm afraid I'm going to have to insist. I'm really sorry, but it's very important. I can't possibly risk offending one of the ambassadors. I understand that you have to follow the procedure, but you must understand that sometimes the good relations of the family with important personages all over Europe have to take precedence.
Bertie moves in.
He's sweating so much.
Bertie moves in and closes the doors quietly to the room. A very sensitive diplomatic matter.
Were there any keys in the pile of stuff that he left?
No, he brought in just the deposit box and some papers related to that deposit box.
While he's talking, I'm just going to very, very quietly cast Enhanced Diplomacy on myself, which does give me a bonus to Diplomacy or Intimidate.
Sure, go for it. I'll say that he was too occupied with, you know, sheer terror at the thought of basically defying the CEO of the company, effectively.
I would also like to have a go at Intimidate, which is what I was leading into there. I lead because I've got a +6 to Intimidate.
Okay, I've just given myself a +2 intimidate. I'll see what I've got a better one. I don't think I do. No, I've got a -1.
even
so
with
actually,
the +2.
Can I shuffle over to Bertie and just be like, you're doing it as well? There you go.
Sure, go for it. Give me the roll.
Cool. Can I pump and patch through this?
I will allow you to, yeah.
Cool. Do you want to add that out?
So add that 1 to your normal modifier and then roll it.
Cool.
So
you get +2. 1 plus...
I need a +2 from Enhanced. Sorry.
Okay, so it's this roll +9.
Yep.
That is a 9, 18.
18, okay. Okay, carry on.
A very sensitive diplomatic matter indeed. You know how important the game of diplomacy is. Do you have any idea of the ramifications of the rest of the world? If this matter were ever to become public, if we were not able to handle it discreetly, have you ever seen a city aflame?
I understand.
Have you ever imagined your loved ones trapped in a burning building? And Europe is that building.
Bertie,
your family is the fire.
I'm so sorry.
Barbecue.
I'm so sorry.
I think you've made your point.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Tad. All I need is a missive. That was all I was leading to. If you could just write me a disclaimer, then I could tie it to your name, then everyone would know and it'd be okay.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
I just want you to know that, I don't hold any ill will for the job you've done today. You follow procedure absolutely as best you can. I'm going to make sure I mention just how well you're running this branch.
As you're saying this, he's quietly, like, hands shaking. He's dealing with some documentation.
Can I make a diplomacy roll to make him feel better?
Go for it.
I'm going to make another cringe check.
I notice you make that ooh sound no matter what you roll.
The roll isn't important, it's the cringing.
22 diplomacy.
Okay, as you soothe him with your words,
yes.
He slowly, you know, stops shaking and passes over a documentation. He basically just says that you are accepting responsibility for waiving certain procedures, blah, 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 blah. It's all very straightforward stuff,
yep.
Which is fine, and it will allow you to take the key under condition that you are liable for the misplacement or anything that's in the box or blah, blah, blah. And he just hands it over to you. He's not shaking anymore, but he's just, yes, that's fine.
Of course.
Thank you, young man. Have this whiskey.
He
actually does start to drink it.
Yes.
I sign it and then pocket it.
No, sir,
it's fine. I'm actually going to travel to Cairo in the near future, so I'll take it back to head office and file it there myself. Don't worry about it.
Here, have this whiskey. And Bertie passes him Hamid's whiskey.
Just stood there holding a whiskey, just looking between the two of you. He eventually sort of...
I just give him my winningest smile.
I don't...
But now we've got the matter of that deposit box.
As he's talking... There's a knock at the door, and he goes, oh, for God's sake, I'm so sorry.
Please.
He goes to the door. And then you just hear...
They're talking halfling on the rest of
the side. You just hear... What do you mean he's here now? Give me two moments. He closes the door. I'm very sorry, sir. If you could all just give me a moment. There just happens to be another personage of notoriety. notoriety. There's another VIP...
Of course,
I have to go see.
We're very happy to wait. We've got nothing to rush on to.
That's fine. He actually may be able to shed some light on the situation. He opens the door and heads out into the corridor and disappears.
Why on earth would whoever's turned up be able to shed some light on the situation?
Oh dear, maybe it's one of the ambassadors?
Oh, that's going to make things complicated.
Should we sneak out of here?
Yeah, should we just take your deposit box and leave?
Well, we don't know.
It is your deposit box.
I think we should wait. I don't want to... We've already given this poor
You hear from the distance.
Don't you know who I am?
Do we know who that is?
Not really.
Okay, can we attempt to work it out?
You could give me a knowledge and ability.
14 plus 7 is 21.
It sounds like a bad impression of Byron.
A bad impression of Byron.
A bad impression of Byron.
I'm Byron! I don't have time for this! Just give me a... For goodness sake, this is ridiculous!
Last time we saw Byron, he was in bits. There's no way that he would sound like that in such hale and hearty health, given the massive amount of opium he'd have consumed to get over it.
I go to the door and open it.
You see, the manager is desperately trying to calm down someone who vaguely has Byron's build, tall, very, very, portly. You can't really make out the details of the face just because of the lighting, but he's just making a big scene.
I don't have time for this!
Please,
I'm far too
please,
busy!
Why don't you come in? I'm sure we can do something to help you. What seems to be the problem?
The face turns, looks, sees you.
Oh!
And then he turns and just dashes out of the bank.
Best charges after him and attempts to pin him to the wall.
Okay, everyone give me initiative order.
No, because this is a chase, I'm not even going to bother.
So my initiative total is 1, I've just rolled 18.
Yeah, so that is 19.
That's your bonus, like your attack.
Oh, right.
This is going to be interesting, because I got 7, so...
That's impressive. You're really quick on the mark.
Yeah.
Anyone impersonating Byron!
I got 6, so... Right. Bertie gets the jump on everyone.
I'd leaned back into one of the incredibly comfortable...
Wait, just to see...
Packages.
I rolled a critical 1.
Yay! See, the dice, they
so
know.
So that actually, it does know that I don't
the
want to
The dice, they know. Bertie's never noticed anything before, but if someone's impersonating Bertie,
yes.
Oh, I'm on it like a shot. It's a very satirical one, this one. I'm not... Yeah. It's a different demographic today. Right. Okay. So... Pseudo Byron dashes out.
Or PB.
Bertie, you're up. What do you do?
Right, so I'm going to charge after Byron. What I'm attempting to do is knock him down so that we can hold him down and question
okay.
why he's impersonating Byron.
You dash out to the doorway and you turn and you see that he's making a beeline for a carriage.
I charge at the carriage. Is he in the carriage yet?
Not yet.
Okay, I charge after him.
Okay, Sasha. Bertie's dashed off after Byron.
I put my whiskey down, which is why my score was so low. It was very good whiskey, and then I run after him.
Even with the delay, you are now pretty much overtaking Bertie.
Am I at the carriage?
Not yet. You okay. are at least one turn away.
I'm just running.
Okay. Hamid.
I also rush out the door, but mm-hmm. I don't do a full run action, mm-hmm. because the second I step out the door and see that he's heading to a carriage, mm-hmm. I cast Acid Splash,
ooh.
Targeting... one of the carriage's wheels.
Nice!
I was going to attack the wheels, so
nice.
We're, yeah.
Okay.
It's a ranged touch attack.
On a carriage, so it's not exactly a small target.
Well, I'm aiming specifically for the wheel. 18. 20.
That's a hit on the wheel?
I don't do very much damage, but it is obviously acid-based. Mm-hmm. 1. I do 1 damage.
Okay, pseudo Byron.
It's my go.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you weren't partaking.
Well, not in the chase.
Okay.
Picking up the remaining whiskies, I will enjoy them.
Oh, yes. Very good. Right. In which case, then?
Roll to enjoy.
That's a critical fail of enjoyment. You are
that's
cringing.
Not, that's a 3. That's a 3.
You are cringing
that's
at your...
Three.
Yeah, you're dividing that 3 by 3 whiskies. It's not good.
Oh, no.
You're not enjoying
I just I know it's good, but I can't enjoy the bouquet. I don't know enough about it. I'm a bit disappointed that I don't. It's ruining the experience.
And back to the, chase. It's literally
high,
happening.
Exciting high-speed chase.
So, yeah.
I like the smash cuts where I'm like, run. Smash, and some sniff in a glass. And you're like...
And then back to the chase. Run. Yep, so let's just call him Byron for the sake of speed. Byron, he rushes up, and there is actually someone on the carriage. It looks like it's actually just a cabbie, basically a handsome carriage. Without further ado, he reaches up, yanks the guy out of the seat, leaps up into the driver's seat, grabs the reins, and whoosh, starts pulling the horses away. Despite the acid in the wheels, which he doesn't appear to have noticed, the carriage starts pulling away. Bertie, you're up.
How far away am I from the carriage?
If you were to sprint, I could give you a chance to leap and grab hold of it.
I am going to sprint and leap onto the carriage, the moving carriage. It's quite this exciting high-speed chase.
Give me a reflex check.
In full plate armour.
Okay, so it's this plus one. Oh, two,
so
three.
So Bertie charges after clank, 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 jumps. Misses it pretty significantly, you know, forgetting you're jumping with full play, and you just boom.
So it's not really a jump, it's more like a...
And immediately, like, you, I'm afraid, yeah, you're prone, face down.
Yeah.
At which point?
Sasha,
you're up.
Runs along, and since Bertie's directly
jumps
in my
path,
I'm going to jump off Bertie onto the carriage.
Do it, give me the roll.
15, what would it be plus?
It'd be reflex. It's just that I'm using
plus
reflex.
Six.
Yeah, that'll make it.
21.
So yeah, running you with Bertie face down, you jump, leap off his back.
Leap off the back of his helmet.
And onto the back of the moving carriage, and that'll take that turn. Yay. Okay, Hamid.
I jump onto the closest vehicle, stuff a handful of gold coins into whoever is driving its hands, and say, follow that carriage!
I normally would have said that it'll take you longer, but I've never heard anyone manage to fit in follow that carriage before, so I'm going to allow this. The handsome driver looks at it, goes, looks in the bag, drops the bag, and just go. And he's urging them on. Okay, Zolf.
You know, I've never really learned to appreciate this kind of stuff.
Smash cut back to Bertie. You're face down currently, and the carriage is pulling away from you.
They're both speeding away, and there's no chance I can catch them.
On foot, no.
No.
I would allow you to try and get up onto Hamid's carriage as it pulls past you before it splashes dirt in your face.
Fine, I will do that. I will leap for
Hamid's
carriage.
Another reflex save, then.
8 plus 1.
You were prone.
I reached down and attempted to help.
Even with an eight, it's not enough.
Four times more. Yeah.
So as the carriage speeds past you and Hamid leads out to grab you, you do another leap and another face flick of tongue. And you just, Hamid, you just see how you pull your face out of the mug and just see Hamid pulling away with his hand out, going, "Oh, sorry."
Listeners, this is a fan art episode. She says while riding a carriage off into the distance.
Okay, so the carriage is speeding along, it's careening left and right, whoever driving, desperate to get away. They're also really bad at driving, to the point where you know, clipping lampposts and things like that. A bit of the carriage has already snapped off as he's clipped a lamppost. And then he makes his way across and he's heading to a very, very sharp corner. And then he gives it a big, huge go with the reins and... The carriage just falls short of tipping, but nonetheless it's throwing Sasha out, so you're due to hit a lamppost.
Right.
At which point, I'm going to take a break there.
Oh.
And we'll get back to it in a couple of minutes.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello? Hello? Oh, I sit there. And talking to this? This? Right. Good. That is odd. Yes. And you, bring me a whiskey. With a rum in it. Yeah, lovely. Yes, so, good evening, peasants. I am Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham. Now, I've been told the tales of my feats of heroism, adventure, and utterly selfless derring-do were spreading far and wide, arcing across the sky like lightning, rending the heavens in twain with their magnitude and ploughing into people's ears like a plough made of me being splendid. Now, the important thing is that I'm excellent, and everyone should know just how excellent I am. So in order to set yet more ears aquiver in anticipation of my every exploit, I would like you, specifically you, to tell your friends about how utterly super I am. Now, according to the technical busybods of Rusty Quill, and trust me, their bods are very busy, if you tell a friend about us and they subscribe to my tales of chivalric daring, then when they send us an email to mail@rustyquill.com with their name and the person who recommended it, they will have an episode dedicated to them. Now, I've no idea what that means, but it sounds jolly lovely. Anyway, once you've done all of that, all you need to do is pop the cash in non-consecutive bills into an envelope and send it along... What? What? What do you mean they don't have to pay? Oh, I am literally never... Don't... You test me, sir. Fine. Well, recommend us to your friends and don't pay us and you still get your own episode. Now, if it excuse me, I have to have a serious chat with the underlings about the actual meaning of the word mercenary.
And welcome back. So, Sasha, you are due to hit a lamppost. Flung out, holding onto the carriage. You're powering towards the lamppost with your body almost horizontal because of the angle the carriage is going.
Yeah, well, I'm strong. I'm going to pull myself back in and back onto the top. Do I need to roll a check?
Give me a strength check.
Gosh, can't,
if it's reflex to let go, it's strength to pull yourself back in.
Acrobatics to flip.
Yeah, ooh. So if I'm horizontal... I think I would sort of flip myself backwards so I'm not pulling straight up.
I'd allow acrobatics.
Push off the lamppost
back in thing.
Oh,
and
bounce.
Just give me the roll.
Okay, but I want to describe the amazing...
Describe after you've done the roll.
Okay, four, plus 8, 12.
You will not be succeeding in this. Tell me what you would intend to do.
Okay, well, as Sasha's thrown sideways, there's the lamppost. She sort of brings her legs in a little bit and tries to sort of push, as she goes right past this trunk, push off it and force herself back in. But she misses by just a millimetre. Like, the feet sort of slide off. And instead of pushing herself back into the lamppost, she actually sort of manages to force her legs a bit dangly further, and her body is like a spinning top.
And it clips you in one of your legs, dealing 1d3 damage.
Ooh.
I can roll it for you.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're dealing 1 damage as you just clip the lamppost, but the carriage doesn't flip at least. Hamid, you're up. You're currently following that carriage. It's still in sight. The driver that you have is significantly better because, you know, it's their job and they get good at it. So you are making up time, and you've just seen it careen around the corner, so you've just lost sight of it this second.
I'll say there's another 20 gold if you can catch it. If I get a chance, I'll take another acid splash attack on it, but I'll need to be in.
It wouldn't be this turn because of the corner, but it would be next turn. Fair enough. Zolf, cut back to.
Having finished both his whiskies, he wanders off in search for more.
Excuse me. Any more of the free drinks?
Come back to. So Byron, riding along, feels a clip, turns over, and sees that Sasha is holding onto the carriage.
Dangling,
as it were.
Probably noticed when I went, ow!
So he's hurrying along. He looks left, he looks right, and then throws himself off the moving carriage into a carriage that's beside it, which is carrying basically vegetables and stuff like that in the back, just a cart, and he throws himself onto it. They seem to break most of his fall, and that's what he's doing with his turn, and the carriage is now careering wildly and unmanned. Bertie, you're up.
So how far away are these guys in walking distance?
Let's put it this way, you're going to make it back to some commiseration drinks with Zol faster than you're going to make it to the chase.
Okay, right, can I see any just like horses that appear to be loosely tethered around anywhere?
Not really in this part of town either, it's mostly carriages. There is another hansom waiting and ready to go like a bit further up the street, but that'd be the best you can do. There's no wild western like hitching posts.
Right, and again, sort of a technical question. How would a ride, my ride skill, compare to that of a normal hansom cab driver?
You would be probably better than the average cabbie.
Okay, fair enough.
Even with his own horses, probably.
Yeah, and what would a reasonable offer to a hansom cab driver be if I was to just...
You tell me, James. You're asking out of character when you could be doing it in character. What
I
are you doing?
Genuinely have no idea what it would be in
reality. Neither would Bertie.
That's
just
true.
Just offered 20 gold or something.
So, that's go, what do you do?
Yeah, but I'm massively overpaying.
Yeah.
Running up to the head. Running up, Bertie runs up to the head. Clank,
clank, clank, clank, clank, clank, clank, clank, clank, clank.
You there. Handsome cab, cabbie. Yeah. You there. How much for your cab right now?
What, it? The whole thing?
The whole thing. Come on, time's wasting. We're losing daylight here.
100 gold. No! Wait, 150.
Give me 20.
140.
20.
130.
20.
140.
20.
I'm going to leave this playing out. Jumping to Sasha, you're up on a... you're still holding on.
Jumping off the back thing, because I'm guessing that a vegetable truck is slow and...
You're
medium.
On the opposite side to the vegetable truck. So the vegetable truck has been on the left-hand side. You're currently hanging onto the right-hand side, so you can't drop onto the same carriage.
I don't... Yeah, I just wanted to drop onto the ground. I missed the ground.
Oh, sure. Give me an acrobatics check.
13 plus 8.
Yeah. 21. Basically, the carriage starts tottering wildly. At the exact moment that it's at its most tilt, your feet just skim the ground, you let go and just run and start killing the momentum just by running. It's very graceful, and just ahead of you, the carriage tilts onto its side, scraping along the pavement, and slams up against a... but they are sort of loose and tank off together, still hitched. Hamid. You are now back in sight of the carriage, which is now tipped over, and you see a carriage coming towards you, and in the back of it you see Byron standing up, looking, and just seeing your face.
I yelled how I'm on start before we go careening past, and I will point my finger at Byron and just say, surrender!
Give me a bluff check.
It's not a bluff.
He doesn't know
I'm
that.
I'm going to shoot him in the face if he does not.
I love that theory. He's like, you can't do anything. Imagine himself.
22 on the bluff check.
Okay. The guy looks worried. I won't say what he does until his turn. Zolf, you're
I'm
back
still
up.
Looking for that booze.
you encounter an underling who's holding a decanter and looking a bit concerned because you're just wandering around the back of the bank.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I will be taking this back to my meeting room. I will take the decanter and stomp back off.
You're going to be doing force saves to see how drunk you are when everyone's back.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so Byron, seeing the threat, drops down prone into the back of the cart, and that's all you see. You just see the head go and duck down. Sasha.
I run off the cart and try and jump in the back.
Easily. It's moving so slow I won't even require the reflex save. It's just a slow cart.
Right, so I
didn't think this through.
I'm just standing there. No, I've got a dagger. I climb onto the edge of the thing and I flick out my daggers. I'm like, surrender!
So when you hop up onto the carriage,
she's not confident,
and yell that with your dual wielding daggers. You see Byron attempting to bury himself in potatoes. The second that he sees you, he just hands up, dropping a potato from each hand, looking a bit dishevelled. His hair is completely skewiff, like falling off his head, wig territory, and he's just there holding up his hands.
Right, you, I've got you now. You'd better explain. Hamid, why are we chasing him?
Sasha's not usually on the other end of this conversation. We've got you now.
Yeah. What are you? You better come with me to the bank. Wait, we didn't want you at the bank. Hamid,
we'll take him back to the bank for questioning.
All right.
But tie his hands behind his back.
I can do that. I've got rope.
You won't even need to do a check. Yeah, you tie it behind his hat. He just keeps going.
Don't you know who I am? I'm Byron! Byron! I'm Byron!
Someone please ask him what his first name is.
Yeah, pretty sure my first name was always Lord, wasn't it?
So,
20 gold.
You?
20 gold. 20 gold.
In this episode, Bertie.
9, I can't go any lower!
20 gold.
Ah! Which
Bertie, we've got him!
Oh, lovely. Alright, fine, sorry, deal's off.
And yeah, you just walk off.
April Fool!
Leaving the guy so nonplussed as to what
I gave my cabbie a total of 30 goals during that encounter.
Goodness me.
It's fine, I've still got loads.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you obviously reconvene with them, marching Byron, in inverted commas, ahead of them, back towards the bank.
Ah, Byron, in inverted commas.
He looks at you with just daggers. Just daggers.
Wait, I've got all the daggers.
Oh.
No,
he looks at you with cookeries. Just cookeries. He seems to specifically hate Bertie.
Ah, someone who's met Bertie.
Yeah, you guys head back into the bank, and there's no Zolf, but there is the person you were speaking to, the manager, just sort of coordinating. There seems to be a police officer there already, and he's going, "Yes, well, I don't really know what happened. So he was just here, and then he ran off, and I don't understand what's happening, but I'm sure... There they are! There's him! That's him!"
"Good afternoon, officer. We've caught the impersonator."
"I'm Byron."
"Shut up!
What's your first name, and where are your swans?"
He kind of makes a go for Bertie, even with his hands tied up. He just kind of throws himself forward in the vain
attempt.
"Oh,
you miss me. Ah, sucks to be you. Now."
As he's doing so, like, the wig on his head flops further forward. The mustache that he has is sort of slipping.
We undisguised him.
Yeah.
Just a grab yank, grab yank.
Just prestidigitation. Just wipe any makeup off his face.
So it's just like wig just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything flops off and thingy. And then...
thematically, was it Mr. Willikers, the janitor, all along?
You wish. You know,
it's becoming more and more like Scooby-Doo every episode.
It's Figgis.
I mean, I don't know who that is.
It's the guy.
I know
who
it is.
You all recognise him as Figgis, wearing a fat suit. And he... It's, like, costume-wise, he's made a decent attempt... And like he's fatted up his cheeks and stuff, and you see like fake jowls drop off as you press the digitate off and stuff. And he's just there, just glaring daggers at Bertie.
Bertie picks up the false moustache on the floor, puts it on his hand like that. So you know he can do that. This is going to be very difficult to describe for listeners.
The little curled fist thumb mouth thing.
Yeah. Does that, and he goes, and Bertie goes, "Oh, I'm Mr. Figgis. I'm going to impersonate Lord Byron and try and get loads of money out of the bank using the worst disguise I've ever seen."
Pretty good disguise. No,
I'm going to be honest, normally I'd shoot you down, but we've established Bertie's amazing at disguises on random occasions. Figgis just glaring, "I'll have you. I will one day. I don't know how, but I'll have you." And then you'll be like, "Oh no, it's you." And I'll be like, "Yeah." And then I'll have you.
"Oh, I'm Figgis. I'm really terrifying on the opposite day."
Officer, I suggest you charge this man with impersonation of a member of the nobility.
Attempted impersonation of the nobility.
Attempted fraud, assault. Breaking and entering from that previous time.
And all those potatoes that he's mussed up.
Potato assault, of course.
So, yeah.
Carousing with vegetables.
The copper just gives him a way ahead of you. He just clamps him and then he just starts walking him off and he says, "I'll be back later for any witness statements. I've got enough from the manager, but if anyone wants to add anything," he just marches him off nice and quick. The manager's there going, "Oh, goodness me. That was exciting, wasn't it?
All in a day's work."
"Oh, clearly. I had no idea that..."
"Do you know where our boss is?"
Back in the meeting room, I guess."
Probably on his way. Presumably. Here. Give me 3 fort saves."
"I shall.
First one.
I shall do them all at once."
"Don't you get some sort of bonus of being a dwarf because you're Alkies or something?"
"That's racist."
"Then you get a bonus from being an ex-sailor."
That's careerist.
Give me the rolls.
But it might also be true. That's a critical success, a critical failure, and an 18.
How do we deal with this?
Presumably the success and the failure just cancel each other out.
No, they're a critical success and a critical fail.
We're
which
not playing drunkenness, and you can definitely have both within minutes.
Yeah. Not that we'd know.
Unless, wait, I'll give these to you and you can order them in any way you wish.
So here's what happens. So, Zolf, the first one that Zolf drank, oh, that was not much to it. A lot of water in that one. You're like, eh, it's probably weak. So then you have the next one with water. Oh, yeah, it's quite weak. So you eventually, with the decanter, you made it back and you're like, well, there's nothing to it. Have necked a bunch and gone, Whoa. You're going to be taking a minus... There are rules for alcohol, I don't like them.
How many minuses are inherent in this
You're
face?
Going to be taking a minus 3 to all charisma rolls, but if you get a natural 1, you are in so much
just
trouble.
A minus 6?
So you're on a minus 3 for your charisma rolls, and everyone comes back in with
the How's his dex?
To clarify, he'll be taking a minus 3, let's say...
To everything?
Yeah, go on.
I'll apply that to everything.
Yeah, go on.
Maybe a minus 6 to wisdom.
I realise there are rules for alcohol. Let's keep it moving. Yeah, you've got a minus 3 to everything. So the manager comes back in with you guys and finds the solve there. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to leave you here on your own.
Don't worry about it. Having a great time.
Okay. Yes, well, that was something. That missive, yes. Given the circumstances, yes.
Is anybody else... It's a table. A bit wobbly.
Tables!
They're kind of wobbling it, going, I'm pretty sure the table's a bit wobbly.
Solf, don't get Bertie started on tables.
What? Table murderer that Bertie is, yes.
So I've totally lost my track. We were,
You just, like, given him the key and we'd all signed all the forms and everything was fine. You were just going to open this safety deposit
the
box
one for him.
Give me a diplomacy check. To just bamboozle him to the point where he's that flustered that he's just going to go with it.
I think my diplomacy is not good. Minus 1.
Go for it.
3 minus 1. I will roleplay that. It's you! It. So that box, you got to, you know, what the open thing is. So
well,
opening is the thing that you should
do. I don't know what's going on here, but I know I'm convinced.
Look, you look rubbish at what you do, so you should prove it right by doing this for us.
Hammond has his head in his hands.
Why don't the rest of you just wait outside while I just wrap up here?
But Sasha was doing really well. What she said, basically.
I just chased down a criminal.
Just, guys,
what
she
did you do with your life?
Just wait outside, please. Please wait outside.
Is that what you were doing while I just got...
Bertie withdraws his sword and eyes the table.
Did you have a...
Everybody out!
All right, squeaky with short arms. We'll do what you say.
Zolf, you... They poisoned you, Zolf.
I poisoned myself.
For the sake of things keeping moving, I'm going to say that...
Bertie Denny ushers both of them.
Yeah, cool.
Glaring backwards at the
both
table.
Sasha and apparently poisoned? Captain Jack Sparrow. The door closes and the manager goes, he ends up actually just passing the missive over to you anyway, along with the key. Right, yes. The box, yeah. This was left in our possession on a time release for your birthday, but then we never got the go-ahead. We've just sort of sat here, but I thought, since you're here anyway, you might want it. It's in your name.
Okay, well, I'll take a look then.
He plucks out a key that he had on his person, opens it, and then hands it over to you, like, unlocked but not opened.
I open it.
You open it. There are a pair of sort of shimmering, pearlescent tubes of material in the bottom, and then a note in an envelope put on top.
I read the note.
Written on it is, our dearest son, we know that you have some troubles, but you know it means so much to us how you stick at your studies, even through all of the problems. We love you very much, mother and father. And then a little kiss.
I try really hard not to cry.
Crashes and laughter from the outside. It's off! That's insane!
I know! I can just take it off and wave it around!
Dude, that is sick!
And cut back to the interior where the manager's just... I hope it's nothing bad. I have no idea.
No, it's fine. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I do really appreciate it.
Well, if there's anything else I can do for you, do let me know.
No, you've done more than enough. I really appreciate all your help, and thank you for, you know, understanding that sometimes not every situation can be covered by the existing procedures.
Right, well, if there's anything else, opens the door and just...
You've really been wonderful. I'll give him a very warm, friendly handshake.
I give him a very warm, friendly tip. Yeah, sure, he opens the door and just slowly ushers you out, and everything seems to be settling down and all of the clerks are handing out.
I assume that these things are the magic item we previously talked about.
Indeed. Would you care to identify them?
They are called sleeves of many garments.
What do they do?
Basically, I slip them onto my wrists and I can instantly transform my clothing to anything I want it to be.
The best present a parent could give a fanciful child.
He's definitely still at university.
Yeah. So, anyway, you head outside and, yeah, Zolf's looking a bit the worse for wear.
Well, I currently have my peg leg off and I'm hopping around fencing with it. And that was what I could take off and wave it around.
I'm fencing with Zolf, holding my rapier by the sharp end, so I'm just waving the pole.
Zolf, sing us a pirate shanty.
Okay, guys, time for dinner.
What?
Dinner.
Oh. It's coming on to 6 p.m. at this point.
Yeah. All right. Wait, I'm just... he will attempt to walk, forgetting that he's taking his peg leg off. Fall flat his face. Ow.
So I'll leave it there with Zolf stumbling around without his prosthesis whilst everyone else is either making a laugh or Hamid's just there.
Hamid. Being embarrassed.
Hamid, look, isn't it funny? Hamid, look, he doesn't
even
have his leg on.
Even you can Hamid. Tell my face is super unimpressed.
I'd like to have a little bit of a lie down here.
And we'll close it there. So thanks again, as always, for listening. We look forward to seeing you again next week. And I hope that all of your dice rolls go well, etc. I need a better sign-off.
Bye! Sorry about the sign-off.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Test.
I'm afraid you have not passed the semi-finals for the national rapping championships.
Can't rhyme word with itself. That's how rhyming works.
Through corridors and automatic...
Oars. Automatic oars.
Automatic oars. Just to row to you. Just to sail the way through. Okay, let's open your windows, Alex.
No!
This is why.
That was incredible.
You opened it. You did this!
And wakeful.
Yeah.
Pleasant in here.
Actually, that is a point.
Can't be having that.
Probably quite important that we do so we don't get into a soporific funk.
Yeah.
I was soporific funk and this is on you.
Yeah. Funky lullabies for babies. Welcome to the soporific
funkabies.
Funk. Come on, right, baby. Fall asleep.
Test one, test two.
Maybe let's soothe that colic away with an extract round.
Test one, test two.
I've got a wing. You've got more of a torso, I think.
No, I'm going to have a wing and another wing because of being a dragon. Oh, you're not getting where I'm going.
No, moving on.
No one understands. You guys a chicken reference? Lenny, I mean, like, yeah, you got a wing. I got the breast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woebegone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woebegone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woebegone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woebegone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.